On Monday, the 15th of September, 11 days after the early budget was called, I'm at a library desk with four copies of the Irish Times property supplement spread out in front of me. The four supplements are across 4 years. What they have in common is that they all are dated the first Thursday of September. 2005. The front page boasts Raglan Road Mansion for £3.5 million. The next year, 2006, neighbours to share £30 million in sale of cul-de-sac. 2007 tells of trophy homes in Fox Rock with prices to match. Thursday, 4th of September, 2008. The headline screams, developers cut prices and give interest-free loans.
The Dow Jones Industrial Average posted its worst single-day points decline ever. 777 lost in just one trading session.
In the same library is the day before Sunday Independent. It carries a front-page attack from Junior Government Minister John McGuinness on the public sector.
Investors and traders on their behalf really nervous on Wall Street. Professor Morisi from the University of Maryland feels it just might get even worse.
But it's the day after, the 15th of September. Events overtake. Venerable US investment banking house Lehman Brothers have just filed for bankruptcy.
Well, I think that we're on the verge of the collapse of the US financial sector. We could have panic after this, and that would bring down financial institutions around the world. This is not merely the decline of the United States, but it's the decline of the West.
Their CEO, Richard Fuld, a Wall Street legend, was called the Gorilla. Another CEO told that if you ignored Dick, it was at your peril, because he might just come crashing through your boardroom and rip your arms out.
It sounds frightening. It sounds like things are just going to go under and it's just going to be some catastrophic chain of events for the economy.
That week, in the company's gym, this Wall Street alpha male was punched in the face by an employee who had just lost his job.
There was clearly a proliferation of risk-taking activities by the trading rooms of banks, which were so complicated that many on the board at the top management level didn't really understand the risks that they were taking.
But that was far, far away in the United States. A Lehman's wouldn't happen here. Yes, there was going to be an early budget, and yes, property developers were suddenly offering 100% loans if you bought one of their houses, and yes, the public sector was now public enemy number one. But anyone suggesting something would happen to the Irish banks here was a pessimist, and even worse, an irresponsible alarmist.
Of course, these banks and their bosses were just part of a wider boom based on an explosion of debt.
Magical thinking was everywhere. If you didn't use the word recession, it might all go away, the way a child covers his eyes and thinks he can't be seen.
The people who are in charge seem to be fighting with one another. Nobody can come to an agreement. And who's been affected by it? You are, people.
The documentary on One, Anatomy of a Recession, the last 100 days.
By the Minister for Finance, Brian Denehan, unveiling the severest budget in decades.
It's budget day. Tuesday the 14th of October, 6:25 p.m. I'm in a small pub in Dublin 8.
The spotlight off.
This budget was coming anyway.
Cozy, owned by a country woman, long in Dublin, who's involved in the local Fianna Fáil Cumann.
Fianna Fáil are in here tonight now. Look at him. Brian Lenihan's canvasser.
Even her part-time barman is party loyal.
I canvassed for his father and I voted for his father and I voted for Brian as well. And I continue to vote for Brian Lennon because the Lennons are very, very good politicians.
The RT 61 News is on the TV in the corner. People are calling in to have a pint on the way home from work given the day that's in it.
No, but see, look, recessions. People can't go to Barcelona for a weekend anymore.
Yeah, I guess.
So, I come out for a pint.
It may be budget day, but it's also the day the financial regulator appeared in front of the Doyle Public Accounts Committee to attempt to explain the mess the banks are in.
I thought he was up in Iceland.
No, he's...
Hence those barstool comments.
He is in the Arctic Circle, he's bloody well said the dogs are there.
The small bar fills up in that hour between 6:30 and 7:30.
Did we not lead the way in Europe with the banking crisis?
You're beginning to sound like Charlie.
Listen in disguise for Fianna Fáil.
And everything that's discussed there could serve as a conversational blueprint for what people will talk about over the next couple of months.
All slagging aside, it's the first time you've had to clean up your own mess.
No, we didn't create the mess.
First of all, what came first, the chicken or the egg?
This man is blaming Fianna Fáil for the banks in America lending money to people that couldn't pay back.
We have discussed this.
Was the recession here caused by the collapse of banking giants in the States like Lehman's?
They're cleaning up their own mess for the first time ever.
The barman and the Fine Gael supporter argued the toss.
We take responsibility for a lot of things, but unfortunately, Brian Cowan can't rule America.
Just next to the opposition parties, a guy called Enda was having a pint.
Well, basically what I did, I was working in HR for about 12 years, gave it all up, you know, and decided to totally reinvent myself. Went back to college, did my dip.
As a sub-teacher and ex-HR man, he can understand both sides of debate number two, the public versus the private sector.
But I can see some of my colleagues that they don't seem to be affected at all. I mean, okay, they're going to feel the pinch in some way or another, but they don't seem to be overly concerned that they're going to lose their jobs, where I'm sure even the private sector, that would be a concern that people would have.
He also went on to identify number three, another new trend.
I just think it's wrong, you know, and hitting the very vulnerable sections of society, you know.
Or at least a resurrected one.
You know, people over 70 have to means test their health. I think that's absolutely outrageous. I mean,
social unrest.
I mean, in some way, I don't know, it's some sort of an attack on them. I think it's really, really bad, you know. Like,
tell them any, just in terms of the cars you sold in the past, say this time last year, to what you're selling now.
Enda introduces his Shire friend, Wesley.
It's really dropped, hasn't it?
He's a young car salesman.
None of the 4x4s are selling at all. Kind of right through the year, it's been less than half.
He illustrates point number four.
Actually, between January and March 07, I sold 15 Jeeps. This year I sold one.
People have just stopped buying.
A couple of people rang me who bought 4x4s in January, February, and since they've lost their jobs and their payments for the finance are roughly between 600 and 1,000 euros per month. So now they've nothing to pay the loan back.
And what do people say to you when they come back? Are they embarrassed? Are they?
Yeah, they usually have no problem.
So they can't afford it anymore?
Yeah, or they've lost their job, they can't make the payments.
And was it things like family car or wives or single men or single career women? You know, what type of profile?
People working in construction.
Which brings us to number five. The builders have stopped building.
When I started drinking up here, you could drive up here, park up here. Now it's impossible to get up here. There are about 50 new apartment blocks on this bloody new road alone, all driven by a building boom which has collapsed. All the apartments here are full. Out where I live, there are loads and loads of apartments, not completed yet. They're an eyesore in the whole bloody locality, and they have no intention, the builders seem to have no intention of continuing through. And empty shells with apartments on the ground floor with windows in them, on the higher floors, nothing.
14 days before the 14th of October, at 4 a.m. Tuesday morning, the Irish government guaranteed the Irish banks, and any cheque written would be signed by the Irish taxpayer. Just before I left, I gave the last word to the loyal barman, but even he couldn't stomach that one.
I mean, the last thing one would want is like to Sean Fitzpatrick in Anglo-Irish, who didn't even have the manners to thank us on a Marion Finucane show and come on then one day and told us what we should be doing. And it's absolutely disgraceful.
Number six. Nobody, just nobody, is happy with the banks. The public seem to be in no mood to be flirted with. Rewind 8 hours, the morning of the budget. The well-spoken Delhi owner who agreed to answer a few questions wasn't taking any prisoners. He started with a whistle-stop tour of the last three recessions.
I remember 74, the oil crisis. My father had me sitting in a car for, I think, up to 5 hours to fill a car with petrol. So I remember that one vividly. And then the one after that would have been the early 80s, when I was actually in the property business. I was an auctioneer, and the whole thing collapsed, right? And literally just collapsed. And then the last recession I remember was the currency crisis in the early 90s, I think it was 91, 92. And I do remember the first letter that I received in my new house was to say that my mortgage interest had gone to 14.5%. But anybody who's in sort of service industries and everything, they just said they've had the worst month of their lives.
He didn't seem the revolutionary type.
I bought my first house in 1988, and I was told categorically, under no circumstances, one of the principal banks, who were my mortgagors at the time, told me that under no circumstances would the bank ever consider giving more than 70% equity in any property, any domestic property. And when I heard of people getting 100% plus mortgages, I said, that is lunacy.
But then again, on Main Street, the mood is changing.
So I do think the banks have fueled this, the property boom, which is now collapsed. I just fear there'll be blood in the street before the winter's out, you know.
Not really the sort of mood Minister Brian Lenihan was attempting to rally during his budget speech 8 hours later.
Nobody foresaw the speed with which the global and domestic downturn would gather pace.
Sober, yes.
In the past few months, the world financial system has been turned upside down.
Worried, yes.
Household names in global finance have been rescued by governments, and blue-chip companies have either failed or been subsumed into other entities.
Concerned and alert, of course.
The result is a sharp rise in unemployment and a steep decline in revenue, with businesses experiencing the kind of economic difficulties we have not seen in this country for over 20 years.
Patriotic.
Anish, ira mona varish, chachlin ara mohara taroi.
Definitely. We may all live in each other's shadows, but some shadows were bigger and more privileged than many others. By the weekend after the budget, it was clear that, like Main Street in America, the public wasn't going to be cajoled or flirted with by alpha charmers anymore.
I think that there has been a general outrage at what has happened this week.
Not on Saturday, 2:15 p.m. outside a Dublin cafe.
And I think it's great that there has been, and I think hopefully people are beginning to really analyse what's actually gone on.
Or at 2:30 in a local news agent.
The fact that they took away the medical card, I think they should really reinstate it. So for that alone, I think that was an absolute disgrace. Disgrace now.
Or even the next day, Sunday the 19th of October.
But what did we see out of it? What did we see out of it? We saw not the ordinary people didn't see nothing out of it. I think nothing. It made no difference to me. I was no richer anyhow.
By the end of that weekend, it was safe to say that the budget was proving to be hugely unpopular.
Well, I definitely think they'll have to turn around the over 70s.
We're going to be economical with the truth.
Liveline, RT Radio 1, Tuesday the 21st of October.
So paying 70% tax in 1985.
The country's elderly, and by association their families, are furious.
I mean, I've done my patriotic duty. I mean, how dare he? How dare he say that?
That means just about everyone in the country is mad at the government.
All this generation. We put the Celtic Tiger there, Joe. We did, and then they squandered it.
This is what this collective anger sounds like by Wednesday, the 22nd of October. 1 p.m., Molesworth Street, Dublin. 8 days after the government cut universal entitlement for over 70s and their medical cards. I pay a voluntary contribution for the socialist newspaper being sold in the crowd that day. The workers created the wealth through the Celtic Tiger boom, I read, but only really got the crumbs from the table.
You know, times like this when people realise that all the promises of the market and of capitalism delivering the goods for people and, you know, just let the market rip, you know, whatever you can privatise, the more you privatise, the better it'll all be. All that's been shown to be just so much nonsense.
The Socialist Workers' Party are having their annual conference.
I mean, it hasn't fully kicked in this country yet, but it will do soon. There'll be people losing their homes and losing jobs and their droves. And I think people are seeing this in contrast with, you know, instead of the government spending money on these things, it's prepared to give billions to bankers. And that's where an event like this, a call to socialism basically, fits in a way that it wouldn't have done in previous years.
Upstairs was the hub. There was certainly a gloss on proceedings, but books still being sold included Lenin, Left-Wing Communism and Infantile Disorder. Notwithstanding that, there was giant black and white posters of the recent pensioner and student protests lining the walls, taken by a woman called Pauline Hegarty.
People are getting up
and not just getting angry individually, but getting up in their thousands and coming from all over the country. And the people who've led that have been the pensioners.
So you saw their expressions on their faces.
Those pensioners were furious. They were so indignant. Just the outrage.
Her photos had an up-close immediate feeling. The pensioners, the students, the teachers' unions. But she had noticed that there seemed to be still a disconnect between the energies at these rallies and the rhythm of people's real, day-to-day, regular lives.
Because the recession hasn't really, like, it hasn't been felt. Like, banks haven't, like, there haven't been that many homes repossessed. It's just, you know, just party until the wine stops flowing. So it's about, you know, putting on, slapping on the makeup, looking good and pretending that it's going to be okay.
Also at that time, there seemed to be a gap between what the balance sheets in the financial world were saying and the public's perception of what was still in their pockets. 10 a.m, Friday the 24th of October, midterm. Dublin Airport, in the waiting area behind US Customs. The room was full of women on the by now traditional shopping trip to New York City. And there was a party atmosphere going on, especially with this group. There was no thought of recession.
How many of you going?
There's 17. The youngest is 21 and the oldest we won't go into. So a wide range.
Okay, and how much do you tend to spend each?
$3,000. That's an average.
Yeah.
Most especially from the birthday girl herself.
The recession hasn't hit us yet.
In what way?
How do you mean? My life hasn't changed at all. I'm still doing what I always did.
By late October, the abstract economy had started to gatecrash into real lives, but the signals were still a little unclear.
I don't know.
A shopping mall, 1st of November, 3 p.m.
Our parents are all talk about it though. We're going to have to tighten our belts, and that's how we used to live, like back in the 80s and stuff. It's like our third recession, so.
Two teenage girls were on the escalator.
Yeah, and like our friends aren't going skiing and stuff because they can't, like their families can't afford it or whatever, but.
On the surface, there may not have been many tears shed for a group of teenagers missing out on their annual Christmas skiing trip, but the underlying reason was not so funny.
Yeah, we know we're like privileged and stuff, but I think everyone's going to feel it like in some way, like in stuff like loads of our friends' parents are like in with like building or architecture, and they're the people that are like auctioneers and stuff, so they'd be like feeling it as well, like everyone will.
3:15 p.m. There's a solitary worker frantically trying to keep up with his coffee-making duties. He was dishing out takeaway lattes and telling me he's rushed off his feet. It's really busy, he said. Again, that confusing disconnect. Then I turned to the man behind me in the queue.
Yeah, I would be a little bit worried, all right, yeah?
The distance between the abstract market and the real economy was beginning to collide.
I suppose it's a cash flow, you know, self-employed, trying to get money in, trying to get paid off people, yeah. Biggest problem.
3:25 p.m. near the ATM.
You know, there's a designer bag. You know, you just buy in the sales and stuff like that.
Recently?
Here. Yeah, a few weeks ago here. There's loads of sales out there.
The woman shopping didn't see anything odd with shops having constant sales in the run-up to Christmas, usually the best time of the year for retail.
You're not worried about your job or your self-job, sir?
No, just kind of, there's only so much money. I think twice before I spend, but I still spend.
But again, after scratching the surface, the distance between the remote and real voices was starting to shrink.
But definitely, I know some friends who have been let go from the jobs, so it is starting to hit.
What kind of jobs have been let go from?
One couple, husband and wife, have both been let go with a week's notice. He was an engineer and she was a secretary in the same building. Yeah, full mortgage, one child, both given a week's notice. The company's offering her redundancy, but the jobs, just work is not there.
There's the kind of people I want to try and talk to. I mean, obviously, there's no way, even if I gave her my card or anything.
Because in early November, friends of friends were starting to lose jobs, but nobody really wanted to talk about it. The party might have been coming to an end, but the face was still fully on. Wednesday, the 19th of November, 2:30 p.m. I meet Jerry McCaughey in his Irish home. A Monaghan man in his mid-40s, he sold his property company Century Homes in 2005 for about 100 million euros.
Rumour has it that the company was sold for that level. I sold it just before the bubble hit the top and then finally burst. And when you look at people who are saying that, well, we need to build 50,000 houses per year for the next 10 years, and then we started building houses at 60,000, 70,000, 80,000, and finally over 90,000 houses per year, it was obvious that we were overbuilding, and therefore there had to be a contraction.
Living now in LA, 2 minutes' walk from the beach, that week he was home for a few days. And like the socialist worker Pauline, thinks that the country is in a massive state of collective denial.
Oh God, I don't know how many conversations I've had with people now since I've been home for the last 4 or 5 days. And the lack of understanding of the ramifications that are going through the economy is actually quite staggering. But, you know, an alcoholic has to admit he has a problem before he can solve the problem. And that's very true of a lot of things in life, but it's particularly true when you come down to the economic situation that Ireland faces. Because until we actually admit what the problem is and how bad it's likely to get, it's very hard to make decisions. When you think about it, we got to a situation where we were building 60,000, 70,000, 80,000 and 90,000 houses. So you soon deplete the 500,000. We add into that 500,000 figure very early. The country overbuilt the number of houses it required. Everybody sort of jumped on the bandwagon at the same time. So the 500,000 houses, if you want to say that, were required to be built over 10 years, were actually built over 6 years. So therefore, there's 4 years, although, of a lack of demand because we just overbuilt the number of houses that we required. There was a serious problem. The market itself was dysfunctional. You can't have an oversupply of a product and the price is still going up and say that things aren't going to come to a crashing end.
And it seems that even if you're a multimillionaire enjoying balmy Californian sunshine, when it comes to the banks, you're just like everyone else.
The central bank and the financial regulator allowing the banks to continue to give 100%+ mortgages out when the three biggest economic analysts in the world had actually said the house prices are overvalued. I mean, that to me, that's almost criminal. I mean, talk about living in cloud cuckoo land with your hand over your eyes. Basically, like I have a little daughter who, you know, you play peekaboo with. She puts her hands over her eyes, and because she can't see you, she thinks you can't see her. Well, like, coming around and saying, you know, we're all unpatriotic because we were actually telling the truth based upon the economic figures that were out there. I mean, we were the patriotic people.
Pretty soon that afternoon, I'm left in no doubt as to where Jerry thinks the country's heading.
I would put this, that what we're seeing at the moment is a bit like a hurricane that's building from a hurricane force 1 to a hurricane force 5. And at force 1, all you see is really the trees with the wind blowing through them and some high waves. And they think what it's going to pass. Well, in reality, all that's happening here is the hurricane is just passing over hotter water and it's going to get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. We're potentially facing, I believe, unemployment into the double digits.
The real economy is just about to come crashing down all around us.
You see the ripple coming directly from the construction industry. So where you'll see it is, first of all, is directly construction related workers, then moving to the directly related construction services. And that includes the likes of the solicitors, architects, engineers. And then what you'll see from there is it moving into the broader economy, the other sectors, because once the person who's the solicitor, he's not now employing the gardener, or he's not putting his child into the creche. You start to see it going on from there. So it moves down in waves through the economy. It is, and I think today, one of the banks came out and said that unemployment will be in excess of 8 to 8.5% by the middle of next year. But I would agree that would be the figure. And I think that will be the figure at which there will be no longer will you be able to play peekaboo.
From mid-October to mid-November, there seemed to be a gap between what media commentators were saying and what the general public believed.
How long before all that we're seeing on the markets affects the ordinary person?
Banks, government, big developers, financial regulation, all great for a chat in the pub.
The economy, that's everything we buy, we sell, we earn, we spend, is actually shrinking.
But it wasn't all going to come crashing through the TV set.
I think we're going to see a much more difficult and more pronounced problem in the real economy, which will not be reflected in financial markets and will take a lot longer to correct.
As the TV soundings got louder, the real economy became increasingly more fragile.
The Money and Budgeting Advice Service has urged those in difficulty not to ignore their problems.
It's important to urge them to react early, even if they're still in employment, and maybe see that their job may end or down the road somewhere, that they begin to talk to their mortgage suppliers about what they see could possibly happen to them.
when we found out that I didn't have a job, I was about to start laying a floor, a wooden floor, in an office in Drogheda with two other carpenters, and the floor was about to be, it was all left in the room to be climatised for a couple of weeks, and our boss came in and he said just kind of two bits of bad news. One was that the architect has decided to change the floor, which meant we couldn't start laying it that day, and whatever floor he was going to get would have to stay in the room for a couple of weeks before it could be laid. And then the second bit of bad news was that he had nothing else for us to do. It came down to that.
30th of October, Dundalk Town.
So it was a case of finish up a few little jobs that day, and he'd never let anybody go before either, so he wasn't sure how to break the news, and I'd never been let go before, so I wasn't sure how to take it. But I think the fact that there was a couple of us there at the time made it a little bit easier, and it made it easier on him as well, I'm sure, rather than going through it three times telling people that you had to let him go.
In the month of October, 4,629 people lost their jobs.
Going on the dole was the biggest shock, in a way. It's just something that I didn't ever think I would have to do.
Shane, a second-year apprentice carpenter, was one of them.
Even while I was waiting in the office, I was looking around. There was people there that they clearly have never been in a social welfare office before, because I could tell they were looking around the same way I was looking around. So there's an awful lot of people in the same boat. The office was full at the time. It was a big eye-opener. You could tell that it sounds corny, but you weren't alone. There was an awful lot of people going through the same thing. And some people knew exactly what to do when they went in the door and sat down, and other people were just like lost sheep. They were going around reading notice boards and trying to, before they figured out they had to push a button to get a ticket, because I was the same. But I could tell there was an awful lot of people that it was their first time in the office, and a lot of them were very young, younger than me. So I'm sure there's an awful lot of people out there that they're getting a taste of social welfare for the first time. You feel pretty low the first time somebody lets you go. You're kind of saying, well, you're not worth it. You're not worth them paying you money to do a job. The fact that there's coming on 250,000, 260,000 people in the same boat makes you feel a little bit more you're not alone in the fact that, well, it's not just me. It's not just something about me that's wrong. There's something going on in the wider economy that's good people are being let go all over the place.
I signed on the dole on the 17th of September.
Thursday, 6th of November. It's 11.